104.6.
Kia ora koutou, and welcome to Classical Chromatics with me, Claire Martin. It is a romantic night tonight. We are focusing on the great romantics of the 19th century and early 20th century, when artists were reaching deeper to reclaim a connection to the human soul and stride forth into the mighty landscape to find truth. An incredible body of music that is going to take us right the way from early 19th century to beginnings of the 20th century. So I am going to start with one of the mighty romantics that I particularly love, the Finnish composer Jean Sibelius, who was particularly interested in the music of Anton Bruckner and regarded as the greatest living composer of the time that he was living. He was also inspired by Beethoven and Wagner, and Sibelius is my choice to carry those rather mighty other composers tonight. There's so much music to fit in, so I'm going to choose Sibelius to carry that mantle. I know he can do it. I grew up in a house where Sibelius was the only romantic composer allowed to darken our doorstep and be spun on the LP player. Not quite sure why, but I'm grateful for his depths and complexities. So I'm going to play the Swan of Tuonela, a tone poem of 1895, and you hear notes in the orchestra starting in the depths and ascending higher and higher as if the mists are evaporating upwards into the clouds. And on that note, we'll just have a listen. And this is Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic and the Swan of Tuonela, Sibelius. Sibelius's The Swan of Tuonela, his Opus 22, number 3. And that was performed by the New York Philharmonic with Leonard Bernstein conducting. You're with me, Claire Martin, Classical Chromatics, looking at romantic music. And you can hear the lifting of the mists up to the heavens with those incredible going through the depths of the orchestra. Transcendent music. So next I'd like to play Chopin, one of the leading symbols, of course, of Romanticism, and Poland's famous pianist. This next work was written when Chopin was just 20 years old and was one of the last pieces he wrote before he left Poland due to the political turmoil in his homeland. He never went back again. And his high-profile love life and his foreign career and his early death made him a tragic figure. To me, in this next work, you can hear the melancholy, which would have been part of his life, permanently living as a refugee in France, in Paris. And this is the Piano Concerto No. 1, the second movement, the Larghetto. This is going to be performed by Marta Argerich with the Symphonie de Montreal, Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. It was Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. Next, Edward Elgar, his Sospiri Opus 70. This adagio for string orchestra was composed just before the beginning of World War I. So very late romantic, and perhaps this piece is a precursor for the deep sorrows that were to come in the World War. Sospiri is Italian for sigh. And we should not forget Elgar and his particular English brand of romanticism, perhaps less known as a romantic composer, but nonetheless, here he is, his Sospiri.
Thank you.
Edward Elgar's Sospiri, conducted by Paul Goodwin. It's our next piece there, just sneaking in. Brahms is making an early entrance. Just going back to what we were just listening to. Sospiri. Now, who were they performed by? That's always important. I always think it's really important to mention the actual performer. So that one was with the, just 1 minute, the English Chamber Orchestra. So it was just a small orchestra performing Elgar's Sospiri. So next, I want to just lighten the mood and pick up with what you just got a little glimpse of, Johannes Brahms, his Piano Trio No. 1 in B major, with Itzhak Perlman, Lynn Harrell, and Vladimir Ashkenazy, a mighty triumvirate indeed, with this exultant piano trio. This was written also when Brahms was only 20 years old, and it's a tumble and dash of superb runs on the piano and pizzicato strings. And to me, this movement describes, it sounds like something beginning that's terribly exciting, so bubbling over. So this is, as I mentioned, Brahms Piano Trio, No. 1 in B major. Oh, here we go. Let's try this one. Thank you. Johannes Brahms, his piano trio number 1 in B major opus 22, the second movement with Itzhak Perlman, Lynn Harrell and Vladimir Ashkenazy. Such a brilliant piano trio. And that's just giving us a bit of a bubble over before we move on to Russia and Dmitri Shostakovich, admittedly very late romantic. But I chose the next piano concerto not because it's considered his best work, but because I love its simplicity and its spaciousness. This is Shostakovich's piano concerto number 2 in F major, and it is conducted by Shostakovich's own son, Maxim, and performed by his grandson, Dmitri Shostakovich Jr., accompanied by I Muzici di Montreal. So, piano trio number 2, Shostakovich.
Thank you.
Shostakovich's Piano Concerto No. 2, the second movement, Andante. That was I Musici di Montreal, conducted by Shostakovich's own son, Maxim, and performed on the piano by his grandson, Dmitri Shostakovich Jr. And it's an interesting phenomenon, isn't it, the 19th century and why all this romantic music? Well, a couple of, I suppose, reasons. One is that technology was improved and pianos were extended in terms of the length of the string, and they could produce a much richer sound, a much bigger sound, and fill bigger halls and a bigger range of dynamics. Perhaps the reason was a spiritual one, that it was a world that was becoming industrialized in the 19th century, expanding colonization and money-making and pushing ahead, and traditional lifestyles being turned into money-making ventures. Perhaps people needed to have more connection from that time onwards, the commodification of people, really, and they needed to find connection back to what was real, what was truth, and what was emotional for them. And this music served that purpose. So it sort of swept into the 20th century, really. But we're going to return to Germany, the seat of romantic music, and Fanny Hensel, who wrote more than 250 Lied or songs in her lifetime. And, of course, the first half of the 19th century wasn't really the time for a woman to be a famous composer. It was a man's destiny in those days. And you might know her brother, Felix. So her maiden name was Mendelssohn. Lieder were intimate, miniature stories, really, sung in the parlours of friends' houses. You could say they were the early sort of karaoke night. Your Friday night karaoke was round at singing some Lied in your friend's house, but perhaps maybe a little bit more elevated than that. The following is sung by a fantastic baritone, Tobias Berndt, with the pianist Alexander Fleischer, in an album of Fanny Hensel's songs set to Goethe texts, one of Germany's greatest poets, of course. And some of them had not actually been performed until Fleischer and Berndt actually recorded them. They hadn't been actually performed since Fanny Hensel's own time, when she played them on the piano. So I've chosen two little Lied. And the first one is called Aglaie, and the second one is Jäger's Abendlied. So we're going to hear from this wonderful two little miniatures here, Aglaie and Jäger's Abendlied.
Das ist ein stiller Sinn, darum ich zufrieden bin. Nach manchem lauten Tage, nach mancher lieben Pein, vergess ich alle Klage, kann ich nur sein. Ich denk in meinem Sinne, einmal wird alles still, ob's langsam leiser klingt, mit mir vor. Du wandelst jetzt wohl still und mild durch Feld und Liebestal, und ach, mein schnell verrauschend Bild stellt sich dir's nicht einmal, stellt sich dir's nicht einmal. Des Menschen, der die Welt durchstreift, voll Unmut und Verdruss, nach Osten und nach Westen schweift, weil er dich lassen muss, weil er dich lassen muss.
So Fanny Hensel ne Mendelssohn's Two Lied, performed by Tobias Bent, baritone, and Alexander Fleischer, pianist. Just a couple of really little excerpts. And Fanny Hensel is standing in tonight for Franz Schubert, who should be here amongst the romantics, of course. And there's so many that I've left out tonight. So I guess in an hour, you can really only visit a few. And I hope to play some Schubert Lieder in a program of vocal music coming up in a few months' time. But in the meantime, I think Fanny Hensel did a lovely job of representing Lieder. So we are rolling up to one of the maestros of the Romantic era, really a composer who straddled both the Romantic and the Modernist, Gustav Mahler. So he was the incredible symphony writer, of course, and how to choose which bit. So I've decided to finish with a nice peaceful Ruhevoll, and that's going to be a third movement from his symphony number 4 in G. And just to kind of bring a nice conclusion to this turbulent and passionate mix of music tonight. So Ruhevoll is to make peace in your heart, and this piece is to bid you farewell ultimately for this evening. May you carry the spaciousness and connectedness of this music with you through the week. And I shall play Gustav Mahler, and this is the Munich Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Valery Georgiev. And I shall see you next month with a program I'm going to call Soothe My Furrowed Brow, because by August, I think that we'll all need something to calm us down as we've gone into these really busy times post-lockdown here in New Zealand. So tune in with me, Claire Martin, with Classical Chromatics, next month, Saturday, 22nd of August, and find out the secret of calm. So we're going to go out with Mahler's Symphony No. 4 in G major, Ruhevoll.